WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and on the Commons with me, sitting across the board from me, is this vision of pink loveliness, Pia Trigiani. Hi, Pia. Thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks, Shu, for having me. I'm glad to be here. Always a pleasure to come and chat with you.
Well, it's been tough getting you in, but I'm glad we've got you here finally. And we're going to be talking about building community today. You had said that you did a presentation recently.
Yes, I joined two community managers, Tom Freely, who has his own company, and Michelle Cassiato, who works with Prince William County. Actually, she's a former manager. She's a reformed manager, so to speak.
A reformed manager. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that.
She's actually working in the county Prince William County, Virginia, has focused on community associations, and she's a liaison between the county government and community associations, and she's doing a really great job. But the topic we chose for the local conference sponsored by the Washington Metropolitan Chapter of Community Associations Institute was building community, and we had a town hall or a town meeting on the subject. It was very interactive. We had probably about 75 people in the audience, and we had a great conversation about how to conduct a town meeting and how a town meeting is a great way to inspire communication and community, which is one of the principles I think that we need to focus on when we're building community.
And that's what we're going to be talking about. You were going to send me your PowerPoint, but I understand that what you actually have is a book that must be published by CAI called Building Community.
Community Association Press, several years ago now, published a book called Building Community, and it has a number of chapters written by a host of different authors. From across the community association industry. It includes other community association lawyers, managers, I believe there's even some insurance professionals who have written articles about building community. And the idea behind it was to touch on a number of different things that communities can do to build, to create the neighborhoods of old. You know, really what these community associations are
with bells on them.
Yeah, that's right. Shu and I disagree on some things, but we have a mutual admiration society.
I like the
That's right. Well, you know, you have to respect the positions, and certainly CAI wouldn't be publishing a book on building community if there wasn't clearly a need to try and foster a positive neighborhood, you know, attitude among owners. I think when you buy in a community association, and Shu's intro calls it mandatory, and they are mandatory. It has such an evil tone to it, though.
Yeah, but Pia, you cannot opt out of them.
You cannot opt. You're right.
You cannot, and if you're in Fairfax County or any huge jurisdiction, I mean, virtually everything is in an association nowadays.
Well, there's no new development, I'd say, in the country, and that's a pretty bold statement, that isn't in a community association. And
so even you're talking about 100%.
Well, you know, even in the General Assembly this last session, in Virginia, we concluded a little over a month ago the General Assembly session, but we're dealing in Virginia with transportation issues, and it's a huge issue related to development, and there's more and more of an effort to tie transportation solutions to how we develop the land in our jurisdictions. And in one instance, one of the proposals was that in no new community would any roads be dedicated roads. It's taken into the state system. So communities, and that's a signal to me of what we've been saying all along, which is community associations exist because they are the perfect public-private partnership. It's an effort to take what traditionally services traditionally provided by the locality and put it into the private sector, and that's what communities do. They provide park areas, the common areas. They provide services. Sometimes that includes security, if it's a gated community, or it may include trash removal services. In almost every instance,
it does that.
Lighting of the common area, right, which was traditionally something provided by the locality.
Right.
Streets and roads. So community associations are not going away. They are a fact of life. So I think what we were trying to talk about and what the dialogue that's been created is how we go about making these communities functioning, so that there isn't dysfunction, there's function, so that, you know, we thrust upon these homeowners, private citizens, volunteers who are thrust into leadership roles, give them the tools to do what they need to do, which is create community. What I find in our market here in Northern Virginia, it's development has been fast-paced. It's still going on. But what you find is the leadership of these communities do not have all of the education and the tools that they need to run meetings, to talk to their homeowners in a civil way. One of the things don't know how to communicate without it being negative. But it's a two-way street.
But Pia, you know, on the one hand, you're talking about having the infrastructure in the common areas, and you're turning all of this over to a group of people who really don't know what they're doing and asking them to manage things that, you know, on the county level or city level, you'd have someone who's been educated and trained and has all
the right.
But then you're talking about also giving them powers that even city managers don't have. And, you know, you're giving them the opportunity to go in and micromanage. And you're hearing all of these horror stories about, you know, dusty mailboxes, or you haven't hosed down your roof, or you've got weeds in your yard, or, you know, or your dog's too big, or... You know, why can we not say, all right, if we're going to have associations and they're going to be taking over part of the municipal functions, why not separate it out and say, but you don't really need to be doing all of these other things? You know, why do we have all of these rules? Why do we have giving the same people all of these powers?
Well, you're right. It's not like our government where you have a separation of the judicial and legislative and administrative. It is combined into one. These entities, theoretically, they have governmental characteristics, but they're also businesses. It's a true mix of the two concepts. So what I like to tell people is that I reach back to my civics, public education in southwestern Virginia. I had a great civics teacher, and I remember that these are not democracies, they're republics. And what that means is that the power is vested in a board of directors, a single panel, if you will. In the Condominium Act, they use the words executive organ. We always laugh about that. But it is a body that has, you do give up your rights. You described it quite well. You do give up constitutional rights. You do give up, you do hand over to someone else some responsibility and authority to make decisions that affect you when you walk out the door, or sometimes even in your unit. But what's interesting, and this is a phenomenon I'd like to hear what people have to say about.
Oh, I'll tell you what I hear about these things, yeah.
Is we can't reach quorum at annual meetings. I have been to two or three annual meetings. Now, one of the things that all of these communities must do is speak to their members at least once a year, at the annual meeting. And that's when the members also can come and speak back to the board. Now, at every meeting of the board of directors, there is required in Virginia to be an open forum.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the board needs to listen to its constituency at that point. But the annual meeting is the members' meeting. It's not the board's meeting. It's the members' meeting.
That's right.
No quorums. I can't get quorums.
I hear from people, Pia, they say we went to the meeting, we were not allowed to talk, we were not allowed to do this, we were not allowed to make any proposals, we were not allowed to get any of this stuff. You know, and again, it goes back, and before we walked into the studio, we were talking about there's really no place for these people to go. They go on the internet, they find me, they find other people, they send out emails, they say, you know, this is what's happening, where can we turn? There is no balance out there. You've got the local municipal governments that, because of the double taxation issue, they found a really neat way of just continuing to tax, and as you know, we're you know, this is another big issue we're facing. Our taxes keep going up and up and up, and we're getting less and less and less for the money. You're then shunting everything over onto the private sector. You're turning it over to a bunch of, you know, sometimes they're well-meaning, and sometimes they're really nice, and sometimes they're very effective, and sometimes they ought to be taken out and put to pasture someplace, because they have
maybe
no business.
Foreclose on.
Yeah, maybe I think we should, but they're the ones who are doing the foreclosing.
And that's, I will tell you, I think we're focusing on some of the wrong things. I think there's a dearth in leadership. I think these communities need to find people who are, and not only the phenomenon of no quorums, but inability to get people to run and serve on the boards of directors.
They're discouraged. People put in, you know, put in their things. They decided, no, we don't want you. They're not allowed to run. In some areas, you've got the covenants that say if you've got a you know, if you've been involved with any kind of,
if you violated,
if you've got a violation notice on there, if you're
delinquent,
if they've sent you a violation notice because you've got a dusty mailbox, or your dog looks like it's 3 pounds overweight or 6 ounces underweight or whatever, then you're not eligible. People have been intentionally left off the thing. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of frustration there. You want to build community. You've got to bring people together. You can't.
You do. You absolutely
divide.
Do.
And this is what's happening. They're dividing. They're very divisive. You've got a handful of people who are in control. You've got management and industry who know that if the opposition gets in, their jobs are gone. So they're going to do everything from the administrative point to try to keep the old guard in, because they're the ones they're working with. It's going to be really hard. You can say people don't want to come in. You can say there's a dearth of leadership. But I think that there's a problem with not letting people participate.
Well, I agree that you do need to encourage participation, and there are ways to do that. And some of the bigger communities probably have a better framework, because they have an actual structure where you work in the committee structure, you learn there, and you're not promoted up, but you're, as you learn your way, you go into positions of more and more leadership. But I do believe that we need to help these leaders, and whether they're people who have had issues who come on the board, you do need to come on the board and be qualified. And the qualifications include being current with your obligations to the association, because when you step on that board of directors, you're what I call the other F word, you're a fiduciary. And that means you're held to the highest standard of care under the law, and so you really need to...
It's such language on the show, I tell you.
I know. Well, it's my Latin roots. Fiduciary. Fiducia. You know, you really do need to go in with a clean scorecard, because you're going to be asked your fellow homeowners to do what you have hopefully been doing, which is paying your assessments and abiding by the rules. I think the community issue, building community, has to go back to reasonableness. It has to go back to how you look at your rules, rule enforcement. That's the chapter that I wrote in Building Community. It's about developing and redeveloping your rules and looking at your rules with a fresh eye. And deciding what it is you're trying to do. One of the things we try to encourage developing communities, or communities that are coming right out of developer control, which we have a lot of them here in this region of the country, we try to tell them to think about governance and how they're going to govern and what tone they're going to set in the community. We encourage them to become educated, to read, because there's a lot of great material out there that you can read about leadership and governing in a community. And we suggest to them that they think about what it is, the tone, what tone it is they're going to take. And I will tell you that one of the things I like about what I do is that there's something different every day, and every community yeah. is different. There are different governance methods that work in one community but will not work in another. And you almost have to determine and assess the personality of the community before you set the governance framework. But unfortunately, we don't have that luxury. You're left with the framework that the developer gives you. Some developers are very good about thinking through to conclusion what putting this a certain provision in a document means. Because remember, many times these community associations have, the people that are left at the end, have no say in what the documents that they're left with.
There's been a lot of suggestions as to whether, you know, these documents should have a life span mm-hmm. of 10 years, and then if you want to say this is what you agree to, then let the people at that point mm-hmm. look at them and decide, do we really want to continue with this, and then turn it over. Because as you point out, it's written, and I don't think it's the developer that writes it. It's an attorney who writes it.
Sometimes it's a developer.
You know,
they'll get a good set of documents, and they just regurgitate
it. Copy it. Well, I mean, I know that Bob Diamond, for instance, has written a ton of them.
He's great. He's a great draftsman.
A ton of them, and, you know, so...
He's one of the lawyers that thinks about it. He's one of the lawyers that sits down with the developer and talks through the project and learns about the project and says, well, this won't work for you. Let's try this way.
But why not, if you're going to say to the people, you know, this is what you agreed to, why not really let them agree to it? And mm-hmm. if they don't want to deal with it, then they don't want to deal with it. And, you know, if you're going to end up with a lot of common infrastructure, I mean, this is where I get really PO'd is with the local municipal governments because of the mandates.
Yeah, it's hard because there are people... And your listeners may not want to hear this. There are people who are satisfied and want the rules. They want the structure.
Oh, I know there are.
And I'll give you an example. We had a client, fairly large homeowners association, where we had an issue with the way someone was keeping their yard, maintaining their yard. And it was the Beverly Hillbillies next door to Mr. Drysdale. The Beverly Hillbillies had discarded appliances, mm-hmm. plumbing fixtures, no longer needed toys for the children all over the yard. The mm-hmm. yard was a mess. And next door, it was either, you could say Mr. Drysdale or Mrs. Kravitz from from Bewitched.
You can see who has time to look.
They measured every blade of grass. It was a regulation 1.5 inches tall. And... They went on for quite some time, but ultimately the association, which some would think was, you know, a bad actor for doing it, had to go in and try to get the attention of the owner of the property to get the yard cleaned up. Ultimately, had to get a court order.
That I don't mind. We're talking to Pietra Gianni, who's sitting here. She's a vision of loveliness and pink, and we have so much to talk about. We do, as she said a while ago, we are probably on opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of our beliefs, but I think it's neat that we are able to sit down and talk about them and have fun doing it.
That's right. I don't think we're that far off.
You know?
The spectrum. No, I think we're reasoned. I think some of the ways we get to where we need to go, we may be different on, but but it takes all kinds, as they say.
You know, you're right. Some people definitely want the mm-hmm. rules because they want someone else to take care of their problems. And I've been on the board of my association. In fact, that's how I got started in all of this, is being on the board.
And I thank you for doing that.
Oh,
thank
awesome.
You for being a volunteer. We need more of you.
You know, I did it for years, Pia. I served several terms on the board. I've been on just about every committee. Mm-hmm. Some of them I chaired. Some of them I was just a member. Just about every committee that we had going through here. But I haven't done it for a long time. But I did it for a whole.
Sure.
About 10 years. I mean, there comes a point where You just
you have a lifespan.
You've got to move off the subject. But I used to hear from people. I mean, they were the ones who wanted the rules, and I was such a bad board member because I didn't go banging on doors and forcing people to live the way they thought that I should be doing. But it turned out that the rules applied to everybody else except for them, and when they or their friends were sent a letter saying, hey, you're in violation. Well, they come to see me, and I say, but isn't this what you wanted? Yeah, but I didn't mean me. I swear to God, that's
a problem.
I didn't mean me. I meant, all these foreigners who are here who really don't know how we Americans live. And so you end up with a whole lot of that. And until you get over that mindset, you're never going to build community.
I agree. I also think that community members should not look to the association to solve all their problems.
I agree with you.
And, see, we agree.
We do. You know what I used to do? I used to tell them, look.
Knock on their door.
Exactly.
Talk to your neighbor.
If there's a problem, go help them. Mm-hmm. I had one person who had a beautiful yard and a row of townhouses, and she was frustrated because her neighbors didn't do it. I said, if you have any extra flower seeds, why don't you take them over there? If you have any extra flowers. You would not believe, Pia, the association was not involved. That street became a model street.
Exactly.
Because they started working together,
mm-hmm.
and then you saw new paint jobs, you saw new lighting fixtures, mm-hmm. you saw, just all kinds of a riot of colors and flowers, and then you saw the same thing mm-hmm. happening across the street and down the street. And had I gotten involved
mm-hmm.
as a board member, that wouldn't have happened.
And that's why I think we need to come up with strategies, because you're right. In every community, the heavy hand doesn't work. What we need is the gentle hand and the helping hand. And the helping hand is whether it's a next-door neighbor to another, or, okay, someone has not painted their house. They need to paint their house. First of all, the wood will then rot. Sometimes it's because the homeowner doesn't know where to go to get the help.
Right.
So I encourage boards to come up with strategies to help neighbors, and that's a way to build community. In the old days, we'd help each other. If the barn burned, we'd go and build a new barn.
Absolutely.
A barn raising.
Absolutely.
We need to be doing, that's why I love all these different organizations that build homes for people. Go in and help people with a helping hand who can't do or don't know how to do, or give them the tools that they need. What was it St. Peter said?
I don't know. You're the religious one.
Feed a man a fish.
Oh.
You fed him for a day.
Teach him to fish. You fed him for a lifetime. Was that Saint Peter?
Peter. I credit him with it. My dad told me that.
I thought it was the Chinese proverb.
It could have been. You never know.
We're talking to Pia Trigiani. Only with Pia would we get this silly. We did say we were going to have an all-babes show today.
Yeah.
You're right. And I think that when you have people working together, but you see, then you have the association. This goes back to what I was talking about earlier. When you give a handful of people that kind of power, they're going to abuse it. It's going to go to their heads.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be a lot of pressure to do things. I mean, I was under a tremendous amount of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm by nature not a dictatorial person. Mm-hmm. I'll come up and say, come on, Pia, let's do something. And before you know it, it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't normally threaten people. And here you've got the very people who should not be on the board
mm-hmm.
In a position to start telling their neighbors. I remember one guy I'd been working with, and when associations were allowed to foreclose non-judicially, he got a letter from, once that went into, was signed before it actually became mm-hmm. law, he got a letter. He called me up in absolute hysterics because he got a letter from the board saying, ha, 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 July 1, we'll be able to foreclose because you're not doing what we're doing. You know, when, again, and the law's on his side, and he mm-hmm. could have done that.
Well, you know.
And even though they didn't, the fact that they were being threatened, I mean, here's a guy, had lost his job, was struggling to make ends meet, had a young family to take care of, is being harassed and abused for no real reason whatsoever, other than somebody on the board decided they didn't like him. And there was nothing in there in his governing documents to say that what he had, he'd built a fence and mm-hmm. they didn't like it. I mean, they had, it was a really nice fence, but mm-hmm. they decided he didn't get permission, written permission, so it had to be taken down. There's nothing to say he couldn't have that fence. It was just that it hadn't been, you know, it
right.
wasn't written permission, basically, and it went to the head, to their head, and they started mm-hmm. fining him, and then they were going to foreclose to collect the fine. And it was just giving them that kind of power, and that mm-hmm. destroys community. That totally destroys
community. I have to agree. So what you have to do, then, is teach the leadership how to use that power in the proper way, which is the struggle that I think all of us in the industry have, is how to balance those interests. Use the words balancing the interests. Balance the interest between the majority and the minority. Balance the interest between those who want to see rules kept and those who are a little bit less interested in that. So it is about trying to reach out and strategies, find strategies for your community. And one of the things that I think that we try to counsel, and I like to think that my job is more of a counseling role than I don't litigate. I don't go to court. In fact, if my clients are in court, I've failed. I have not done what I needed to do to get it resolved. I'm a problem solver. So what I try to do and what I try to counsel clients is to think ahead and try and, again, set the tone and to think strategically. I want them to do strategic planning. I want the board to sit down and say, we've got a plan for this community, and this is how we're going to maintain the assets of the community, the beautiful common area, the, you know, whatever our obligations are, have a clear understanding of that and how we're going to go about doing that. I think you do need to have the ultimate threats, and I know that's where we probably disagree, the ultimate sanction, if you will, available, but it's an ultimate sanction. It's not one you use every day.
Well, it is used every day, and I think if the ultimate sanction is to go to court.
Right. Right.
I mean, let a judge make that decision.
Well, and that's what's interesting. In this area of the law, there are very few court cases. You can, on two hands, count the number of cases that have gone to the Virginia Supreme Court under the Condominium Act.
And because the homeowners can't find
it's
the
representative.
It's expensive. They can't find representation. There's mm-hmm. no adult supervision. I mean, I talked to an attorney in Virginia the other day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got a client. You know, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I shouldn't. I say, well, you start here, and then and you do your homework, basically.
Yeah.
But there isn't. I mean, you know the law, but you represent associations.
I know the statutes. That's the law we have. We don't have a lot of case law. That's what's interesting, you know, from a practice perspective, is we're statutory constructionists. The Condominium Act has only been in existence for, well, since 1962 with the first statute, and then 1974 with the second statute, and under the Property Owners Association Act in Virginia, at least, not 1989.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with lots more with PSO. Please don't go away.
Fight Radio Pablum. Listen to WEBR, Fairfax's cable access radio station.
They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Shu Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. WBR, Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Shu Bartholomew, and on the Commons with me today we have Pietro Gianni. Pia, thank you so much for coming into the studio. It's really fun having someone to bounce off of, as opposed to just being here.
I can't imagine how you do that.
You can't imagine how I do it?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to conference call. It's nicer to see somebody, get their reactions.
Well, it's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, I admit, but we were talking during the break. There are a lot of people around the country that are really good and have a lot of interesting stuff to say, so it's the only way I know of to get them on the air, and so.
That's great.
We do it. We get them on the air.
There you go.
And we've got 7 years' worth of shows, and we've had some good ones.
It's a great service you're doing.
And we've had some not so great ones, but we've had, the most part, they've been good ones, even if I do say so myself. So I'm proud of what we're doing here.
Good. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're building communities.
That's right.
I have a
question. All over the place.
You know, I won't use that word for associations. I refuse to use the word C, the C word. You use F words.
Communities, really?
Yeah, because to me, you've got community is a locality, and that's in essence what you have is, mm-hmm. is a locality. But when you have the sense of community, that's absent.
Mm.
I don't
think it's absent everywhere, though.
You know what?
Maybe I'm Pollyanna, but...
You are Pollyanna.
Rose-colored glasses.
Pollyanna and pink. Pia Pollyanna and pink.
All the P words.
I know. I told her I almost wore pink today, too, but I didn't. I should have.
But there are communities that do great things.
Yeah, but Pia, they're one election away from getting the little Nazis in. You know, some of the worst communities, Pia, are the smaller ones.
Mm, can be, you're right.
You know, where you have mm-hmm. 5, 10, 15, 12 units.
Yeah.
4 units, where you have 3 of them gang up on one person.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
You know, we represent homeowners on occasion. We do both.
You shouldn't.
Why not? We do.
Well, you shouldn't. But
well, we've had one where the... I'm not going to use the word you use, but we've had a board president who's out of hand. Not our client. Our client's the homeowner. And we're toe-to-toe with the board. There are occasions... I can't dispute what you're saying. I don't think they're all bad. I don't want to say that one bad apple makes the whole barrel bad. But
I agree with you, Pia, and let me say this. I don't think all of them are bad today. I think all of them have the potential of being mm-hmm. bad. You know, they're under the same rules. They operate under the same guidelines.
Well, then how do they get there? Is it because they have people, ill-intentioned, bad-intentioned people who are power-driven?
Sometimes.
You know.
Sometimes.
Well, how do you stop that? I mean, it's human nature. I mean, a lot of people don't listen to and remember the lessons their mothers tried to teach them about good manners. Because when you boil it all down, it's bad manners, in my view. It's rude behavior and bad manners.
You know, it can be, you know, bad manners. Anything is whether you take how you take it or how you send it or how
mm-hmm.
you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could be so unreasonable to think that just because you blinked right then and looked away from me that you're being bad-mannered. And some mm-hmm. people are that small and that petty.
Right.
I've had people come to me, can you believe? And it's not, it's just people. It's just half of all marriages end in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when you have people who are madly in love. Mm-hmm. And get married and promise to spend the rest of their lives together.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking a group of total strangers, throwing them in there,
mm-hmm.
and saying, hey.
And sometimes the combination works and sometimes it doesn't.
And that's right.
That's what's fascinating is.
That's right.
And so many times, can't dispute it, there are instances when it's just one or two bad actors who just don't want to get along. You can have a great board.
Yes, you can.
And if you've got
a wonderful board.
There you go.
No.
And if you get a couple.
But it wasn't a great board, though.
Right. But you get a couple of obstreperous homeowners who challenge the board on everything, live in suspicion, where that is misplaced suspicion. And sometimes the suspicion, I don't have a problem with people questioning. It's how you question and the nature of the questioning.
You know what? When things are open, we had we had a problem when I was on the board. And on the board, I said to the executive director, I am coming in tomorrow. I want all of the financial records on the conference table. And I said, any homeowner in the audience, I'm going to go sit down and look through them. Any homeowner is welcome to join me. When it was open to everyone, because after all, we were all part of the same, you know, what affected me affected them, and they had as much right to that information as I did. But you don't get that. Usually you ask, you know, you ask questions, you're told you can't have the information, you're told you have to send in a letter, you're told you have to tell, you know, put on there the purpose of this, and if it's not deemed appropriate. Come on, how do you build community if somebody decides whether your interest in the association is appropriate or not?
Well, I don't believe that it's improper to have a process in place for giving access, because there are some records that should not be shared, like your personal information and that kind of thing.
I don't have a problem with that.
And that
legal stuff, anything under bits.
But, I mean, but financial books and records, you absolutely have the right to see. And there should be, as long as they're protected, as long as when they are, they're being reviewed, there's a protection. I don't have a problem with some reasonable process. But you're absolutely correct. You are entitled as a homeowner in a community association to review the financial books and records, period, end of sentence.
But people don't get them, and that's what happens. And usually the reason they don't get them is because there's a reason to hide something.
Or I like to think of it in a more positive way.
Go ahead, Rosie.
The board doesn't know any better. And the manager may not know any better.
Well, why not? If the manager's trained by CAI, why doesn't the manager?
They're not
know
all any? Trained by CAI.
Oh, and it's the ones that.
Yeah,
the ones that
they're not all
know.
Trained. Nor are all the lawyers.
Maybe that's not such a bad thing. I do love her.
Well, you know, some of it's just common sense. Some of it's just being reasonable. But I will also tell you, even on those occasions when you're reasonable, if the feedback is not reasonable, it's very difficult. I've been backed into a corner at a meeting. I know that's hard to believe, but and you come out clawing. You come out fighting.
Oh, I know. I know, because, you know, the relationships are adversarial, and, you know, sometimes it's a pie-throwing contest when you walk in there, but it's been allowed to get to that point.
And have you ever had a pie thrown at you? It isn't a pleasant experience. It's very violative. I had it done once, and it's very, you know, for a charity thing, it was horrible.
Was it a cream pie?
I'll never do it again. you feel like you're being violated. My very first association meeting, since this is what I've chosen as my vocation, avocation. My very first association meeting was a transition meeting. I was a young associate and was asked by a senior partner, named partner in the firm, to go to this meeting. And I went to the meeting. The developer who developed the community did not appear. And I left the meeting in fear of my life. Got into my car, locked the door, and burst into tears. I had to shut the meeting down.
And you stayed in the field.
I stayed in the field. the senior partner wanted to see me fired, but it was, I'm not kidding, it was a situation where homeowners, one man almost accosted me. I mean, it came that close.
It can get really nasty. I mean, I've seen
bloodshed. At a meeting.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've gone to my own. I don't even go to my association meetings anymore. I just don't bother with associations. Period.
That's terrible.
But I have
exercise
been
your right to vote.
I do.
Do you proxy? Okay.
Yeah. No, and sometimes I'll go. If I can't, I'll give my proxy to, you know. But, no, I do vote. But I've been invited to go to other people's board meetings, and it's really interesting when I go sit there and, you know, you can see the dynamics of what's happening there.
The dynamics are fascinating, and that's what, when I said before there's a dearth of leadership, some people do not know how to run a meeting. Everyone needs to feel like they're participants. It's like not everyone is a gracious hostess or host. It's all about how you make people feel and making them feel like they've had their say. Go down to the Virginia General Assembly and watch it happen, or go to the County Board of Supervisors or the City of Alexandria City Council meetings. Residents are given an opportunity to speak, and depending on who's chairing the meeting, you get a different feel for how the communication goes between the individual and the town council, city council, county board of supervisors, and the individual. But we're not as gracious as we need to be. We've got a lot of business to conduct, and communities' volunteer time is very precious. So everyone has this goal of a well-run, quickly run meeting, but they forget sometimes that people need to have their say.
I agree with you, and I think that if there is more input, I think you're going to see greater participation. But when you're allowed 2 minutes at the beginning before you even know what the issue is, you may get an agenda and it says parking lot or parking. You have no idea what they're going to talk about.
Well, somebody that is good at governing will not do that. They'll provide more information. The agenda materials will be available. They can look at them. These are all statutory requirements.
Now they are.
And if, in Virginia anyway, if at the meeting you give people input, if they raise an issue that the board may not be able to respond to it, take notes, and at the beginning of the next meeting, I want to respond. What I counsel board members to do, or the board president to do, is at the beginning of the next meeting, any issues that came up in the prior open forum, first thing you address. We had a carryover issue from our last board meeting. It had to do with the status of our contract with our landscaping company, and in particular a question about how many times they will come in and reseed, or what will happen if we don't have a certain condition in watering condition, how will they address it? Well, a lot of times the boards don't know the answer, and when they don't know the answer is when they get themselves into trouble.
Right, and everybody's afraid of admitting they
don't know the answer.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is say, I'm sorry, I don't know. We will look in and look to the manager. If they don't know, we'll look into it. We'll report back at the next meeting. Now, a really good person in an elected position, because these are elected positions, would call the individual between when they got the answer and say, here's the answer, but I'm going to report on it at the next board meeting. And if people, you know, I've seen board meetings conducted lots of different ways, and lots of effective different ways. There's no one way to do it. Some communities have input by the membership throughout the board meeting. Some don't.
See, I think there's a lot of, and I think that's probably the way it should. It will make the meetings go a little bit longer.
Oh, a lot longer.
But there's a lot of knowledge, experience.
Absolutely.
And information on the other side of the table.
But here's where people are inept. Some presidents are very good at soliciting input and turning to you and say, Shu, I know you've done this before. Can you give me... What do you think? I see you chomping at the bit to say something. But then they know how to cut you off, if you will, without being rude. Because we all have a tendency to ramble. Here, I'm rambling. But, you know, the point is, give people their say. But some people are artful at it and some people aren't. That's why I'm saying we have a dearth in leadership.
So do you think that by doing that you're going to build community?
Yes. I think you build community by making people feel that while they may not like the decision at the end of the day, that they had input into making the decision. And that their input was considered. And if it was rejected, there's a good reason for the rejection of it. Not because, you know, I'm your mother and because I said so.
You mean that doesn't work anymore? Boy, did I hear that one.
I call it the Benito Mussolini methodology. The trains ran on time.
Yeah. I mean, we've said that on this show a number of times.
The benevolent dictatorship works in some instances. In others, it does not.
Yeah, but it does destroy community. And you're talking about building community, and you want to build community.
Right.
And I don't think, as long as you have everything thrown into the same basket, that you're ever going to build community. I really don't. I think that you've got to take out the let's play personal, you know, monitor type of thing. Oh, you left your garage door open for 12 minutes instead of the allowed 10. Therefore, we're going to fine you, and you haven't paid the fine, and we're going to foreclose.
The other F word.
Fines, foreclosures. Fines and foreclosures need to go. And I invited you to come on, and we'll do a future show where we will talk about fines and foreclosures.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'll have Frank in the third F.
Frankie.
Frank and fines and foreclosures, and we'll do the whole thing. But, you know, again, if you're going to be talking about dumping a lot of the infrastructure and a lot of, you know, the municipal responsibilities onto the private sector, then limit it to that. But you've got to open it up. You know, there's been a whole lot of embezzlement cases that have come out. I got one today out of California. 300 and did you? I don't know. Have you seen
that? No, I haven't seen it. No.
60-year-old Cathedral City woman, has been charged with embezzlement for allegedly taking more than $361,000 in a homeowners association scam. San Bernardino Sheriff's deputies arrested Mary Lambert Clark, also known as Mary Jacqueline Clark, on Tuesday, according to San Bernardino County jail records. She was Clark managed 9 associations.
Wow.
With at least 2 in Palm Springs, according to a felony complaint filed at the Riverside County Superior Court.
Well, and first of all, I don't think that regulation will stop defalcation of funds.
I agree with you. They're getting away with it, and nobody's putting up a fight.
However, I do believe, and in this last General Assembly in Virginia at least, we had some new requirements imposed on management companies. And this came from an effort promoted by management companies to require that funds are kept in separate trust accounts, fiduciary accounts, not commingled, and requiring the associations to carry certain fidelity bond coverage. But it is clear, and we will see in Virginia next year, I believe, regulation of community managers in some way, including a mechanism such that if there is a defalcation, that a regulatory agency can step in and properly run the company or seek judicial recourse to run the company.
But this is usually to add an added cost to the homeowners.
Well, in that instance, the regulation, you're right, regulation needs to be paid for.
Right.
Usually the regulant, the regulated industry pays for that, and which is, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. There's absolutely no.
Yeah.
Management fees will go up.
So, again, do the homeowners really want to be double taxed? And I know CAI's position on this. I've had a couple of people come on and talk about it. Because, in effect, that's exactly what you have, is an issue of double taxation. No adult supervision. You've got money going into the Management Information Fund in Virginia. You've got different kinds of similar things around the country where it's just costing more and more and more and more. And are we just making life so difficult and so unnecessarily complex and complicated?
But what's the alternative?
We didn't have all this stuff at one point, Pia. You had a neighborhood. You had a community.
You had
a street with houses, and that was it.
And you had a local government that then enforced some of these requirements.
Yeah. So what?
But the point is, they're not going away.
Well, that's fine. But
there, I mean, they exist.
I don't know that they're not going away. Probably not in my lifetime and not in yours.
Mm-mm.
But at some point, people are going to get smart, and they're going to say, hey, wait a minute. You know, this is a crock. We don't really need this. You know, condominiums existed in Roman times.
Yeah.
They came back.
They threw people into the Colosseum with lions and tigers and bears.
Well, you know, what do you think is happening today?
Oh, nice.
I'm glad you're here, Pia. We did have two questions. We're running out of time,
sure.
By the way. We did have two questions. Actually, we're only going to go to one of them. We're talking about building community, and so far we've been talking about just an association. We've heard from people who are under master associations. They're one association under another association.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, these are basically layers of government, and you have people.
Mm-hmm.
One doesn't know, you know, the mm-hmm. documents conflict, and one tells you one thing and one tells you the other thing, and you have to pay to belong to both
mm-hmm.
of them. Is there going to be any kind of sanity put back into these neighborhoods or not?
You know, as density becomes the real issue for developers because there's less land, because the availability of land and because of sharing expenses, that's where these master associations are coming from. We see it quite often where there's one pool serving maybe two or three different sub-associations, and as a result, you have a master. I'm not sure that there's any sanity that can come of it, but certainly to create community is a much more challenging task than if it's a single community. It's a greater community. So you have to work very hard to create it. But the documents need to be they need to make sure the documents are consistent and give a good foundation. And that's the real challenge.
Pia, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
I really appreciate the
fact
that you're
in here.
Went by
so fast.
Yeah, it does go by fast. Uh-huh. But you'll be back real soon.
I will. I'll be happy to. Love to do it.
Thanks for joining us on The Commons today. On The Commons was produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. See you all next week.
Bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs. Life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings closed to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why.
Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.